Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In his earthly life, Jesus had a lot of popularity. Some of it good, and some of it bad. Even today, Jesus is popular throughout the world. Some of that popularity is good, and some of it is bad. Many love to focus on Jesus' teachings about love and about kindness, about mercy, and about service. His positive popularity soars in this light. However, these were not the teachings of Jesus that earned him the capital punishment of the cross. The culprits for that injustice were his teachings about the kingdom of God, about sin, about death, and about God's justice and forgiveness. Now talk about those teachings of Jesus here and now in today's world, and the reaction will most likely not be a nice one. But that is not important. Jesus was not out to be popular. He did not come to get sinners to like him. Jesus came to do what only he could do. Jesus came to save us from our deadly sin, no matter what we as sinful men and women might think of him. Now, such commitment to salvation is to drive the church and all Christians as well. Nothing is to stand in the way of our proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing is to lead us to abandon that gospel or to take our focus away of Christ and him crucified. Nothing in all the world is worth more than that life-saving message and the glory that comes with it, as St. Paul makes abundantly clear in today's epistle reading. Jesus, Son of God, left his proper place at the right hand of the Father to win eternal life for all of us. Nothing stood in his way of achieving that goal. But that is not to say that nothing tried to stand in his way. Much did. Jesus did face great opposition to the work of bringing eternal life to us. Many stood in his way, or at least tried, to stop him from ushering in the reign of heaven. He acquired many opponents in his work of salvation, and Jesus' positive popularity suffered for it. It was in such a moment like this, of failing positive popularity, that Jesus spoke today's parable. The crowds were still gathering around by the dozens, by the hundreds and the thousands to hear Jesus. But they understood what he was saying less and less. They became more and more infatuated with the Jesus who could heal their sick and raise their dead. But they were less and less interested in the Jesus who spoke about the reign of heaven and the need for forgiveness. Even so, Jesus continued to speak what those people needed to hear. And in his parable of the weeds, Jesus told the crowds that he himself was the one who came and sowed the good seed. He is the one himself who is bringing in the reign of heaven. He is the one who creates the sons of God's kingdom, true heirs of eternal life. Now, there is no one else anywhere ever that can do that. And this point is emphasized for us as well in today's Old Testament reading. For there God reinforces for his people the fact that he alone is God, and that there is no other God besides him. God alone is King of all things. And whoever is an heir of his kingdom shall never be away from God. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, hearing Jesus and understanding what Jesus was teaching was a challenge even for his closest disciples, for they needed further explanation from Jesus, and he gave it to them. He clearly identified himself for them as the sower of the good seed, and the field is the world in which we live. And the good seed is the sons of God's kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy that sowed them in the world is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age when Jesus returns on the last day, and the reapers are those angels of Christ who remain even till now as holy ones. That bit of explaining clears up a lot. For Jesus' disciples, within the world that God has created perfect and good, but that has also been corrupted by sin, within that world lives God's chosen people, those who are made alive in Christ through baptism. Also, in that same world live the sons of the devil, those who despise God and who reject Jesus Christ as the one Savior. Now, such a reality creates a tension in the world, especially for those who are the sons of God, children of his kingdom. For we who have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of all of our sins, we know that there are many about us in the world, and even some within the church who reject Christ and his redeeming work of the cross. We would much rather have it for us in this life be clear who exactly those people are. But the truth is, as Jesus makes clear in the parable, that the sons of the devil's kingdom, those who reject Christ, look exactly the same as those who trust in him. Now that makes perfect sense to us when we acknowledge that none of us can look into the hearts of anyone else and know what they truly believe. And because of that fact, none of us can do that great task of separating the weeds from the wheat. But that will be done. And it will be done at the end of the age. But not here. And not now. In the meantime, we as God's people must live in this world as the imperfect place that it is. And that means that believer and unbeliever will continue to exist side by side, both in the world and in the church that is visible to the eye. That means, then, that there will continue to be hatred toward the church here on earth. That means there will continue to be divisions within the church, as there are among people all throughout the world. Now, such a message is not very popular. And we as the church on earth would love to be able to include as part of our message to them that we are indeed different from the rest of the world in that regard. We would love to be able to offer to every other sinner out there a place that is free from sin, free from hatred, free from hostility, and free even from hypocrisy. We wish that we could present the church here on earth in a better light than we know to be true. That would indeed most likely bring people to the church more quickly and make the church on earth much more popular. But it would be doing so at the cost of the truth, especially as we see it and have it in this parable of the weeds. And so, as we have heard from St. Paul, and as we have seen in our own Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing worth more than the truth of Jesus Christ as the one Savior. Nothing is more valuable than putting our faith and trust in Jesus, who has paid for the sins of the entire world throughout all time because of his perfect suffering and death on the cross. And that because he is risen from the dead, we too shall have eternal life. So the church need not strive for popularity in the world. The church need only to cling to Christ and to him crucified, and to proclaim that truth to sinners. And regardless of what comes as a result of that faithful proclamation, we do so because it is true, right, and beneficial for salvation. We continue to live on in this world and in this life, side by side with those who do not believe in Christ and those who are sons of the devil's kingdom. And we continue to come here to this place to hear Jesus' word of forgiveness and to receive his very body and blood in bread and wine for our life and our salvation. We shall not be discouraged, even though it looks like Christianity throughout the world may be failing, or maybe even in our own lives. And we shall not fear, even if we suffer as Christ did. For we know what he says is true, that the end of the age is coming, when he shall return. It is then, and then only, that Jesus Christ will gather up all of the unbelievers and send them to the place of unquenchable fire to be burned, to suffer with weeping and gnashing of teeth for rejecting him as the Savior, for choosing to remain in their own sin, and for seeing themselves as God. Crime against God himself. And it is then, on that last day, that Jesus will take us, who trust in him for our salvation, to be with him forever, where we shall shine in glory like the sun. And it is then that we shall know peace like we have known never before. And we shall know it forevermore, secure in Jesus, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. And now the peace that does pass all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.